So it's Ellie.
What the fuck? Are you serious? This is a den of testosterone. You can't invite a girl to a place like this.
Well, I'm gonna buzz her in.
She's not gonna talk about Xbox. I'm gonna be sitting here being like, oh, I have to fart, but maybe I can't right now. She better have some hot friends. Open the door. I don't care. I'm getting wasted.
Yeah. Is that ice cream?
Yeah, it's peanut butter chocolate.
Give me the ice cream.
No, I need it. My girl broke up with me.
What are you, Bridget?
That awkward moment when you realize the movie is bullshit.
That awkward moment when you walk out and a bunch of Zac Efron fans are like, it's good, right? And you're like,
For about 20 minutes, yeah.
And it's not him that makes it...
For an hour and a half of a film, though.
And it's him that doesn't make it good. Well, it's not the black guy, is it?
It's everyone. How about that? That's fair and equal opportunity right there.
Even though...
I will say, none of the actors in here bother me. It's the cliched romantic comedy bullshit. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. Well, I got some interesting facts for you about this movie, P1.
Facts?
Yeah, did you know that...
That's a fact.
Did you know that in 2010, this screenplay was in the top 10... I think it's Variety's. They do a top 10 every year of unproduced screenplays.
I heard something about that, but I didn't really look into it, that it was a top 10 produced something, and I didn't know what, like, was it an internet people, like, was craving for or something like that?
It basically, Variety does a list every year of the top 10 unproduced screenplays, and in 2010, this made the list, and then it went right into production because Summit bought it.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they should have gave it to not a first-time director and a first-time writer, and the only thing he's ever worked on was Movie 43. Maybe they should have thought...
Oh!
Yeah, because we're talking about director and writer who wrote this, Tom Gorvigan, I think? I can't pronounce his last name.
I couldn't either.
He's co-produced on Movie 43.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so... I don't know. If this was supposed to be like a top 10 of people wanting to see it and stuff, maybe they should have put...
Well, I mean, I can see where it got that...
Loving hands, at least.
I can see where it got that credibility, because it does have an interesting premise for a romantic comedy, it just goes nowhere with it.
Yeah, I think... I thought all the guys, and the girls, I didn't mind any of the actors and actresses, it's just what they were working with.
Yeah.
Like, they're giving nothing to go around with this, and like, halfway through the film, you could even see that, when it's just scenes of them constantly drinking coffee or walking in the street. And I was like, yeah, I think they should have, like, they could have cut this down by 30 minutes and it would have been just 50 minutes or whatever, to be honest.
Right.
Because there's nothing going on. You got a plot synopsis here. So Michael B. Jordan plays Mikey, Miles Teller plays Daniel, and Zac Efron plays Jason. Zac Efron's character is kind of the player of the group, and the only reason why, I guess, Daniel only was played by Miles Taylor, I guess the reason why he does it is because, hey, you know, Zac Efron does it, I want to do it, so hey, just keep partying or whatever. Michael B. Jordan has this fine-ass wife, Jessica Lucas, plays Vera. She, I ain't gonna lie, that made me laugh when I saw that, when she was like, he's like, I just got home one day and I walked in there, see this bald black dude sitting there, and she was like, he's like, and that was her lawyer.
Oh my.
Fucking him to it.
It was hilarious because I was looking on the Martin and Corey show and they brought that up, and of course it was like, oh, it's Billy, but wait, it's a black woman.
Yeah, that's true, so it was me then. I don't discriminate. Pussy is pussy to me.
But no.
Anyway. I don't know, I laughed at, like, you know, there's some little tidbits or visual gags I laughed at, but so he
AP1 you want a cocktail? Yeah. Ha? Ha?
Hell yeah, I want a cocktail. You get that? We'll get into that in a little
stupid
bit.
Stupid ass joke.
We will get into that in a little bit. Yeah, like, once again, the first 20 minutes is the only good thing. So, you know, he goes into depression mode, and then they make this pact pretty much of saying, hey, we'll all stay single.
Until you get on your feet again, until you are ready to date, and until you get a girlfriend. We're going to be nice. We're going to stick it out with you. But what they don't remember is that once you get that pussy, you get addicted to that pussy.
I'm about to say, you get pussy when then that pussy, you don't want the pussy whips do.
And all it's going to take is for one fine-ass girl to walk down the street, and that pact is done.
And I'm not going to lie, Zach Efron's girlfriend in here, who's played by, who got the most fucked up name in the world,
Ingmar Poots,
who plays Ellie. I ain't going to lie, that girl is awesome, dude. I ain't going to lie, I wanted to hang out with
her. Yeah, that's true. Like she makes a very convincing case where it's like, you know you want to be my boyfriend. And he's like, God damn it.
I kind of do.
And I love the guys. Like, even Michael B. Jordan gets a boy who's like, hey, bro, I know we got that pack, but, God damn.
He said that, like, three times in the movie, though. Like, I think that was, like, the only – that was one of the running gags in here, and I kind of laughed at a couple times. But he just kept looking at Zac Efron. I was like, you fucking dumb. You know that, right? I was bro, like, that's a new enchantment of the mystical, magical Negro. He's helping you in a black way, though, now.
Yeah, exactly, because it's like the thing where Zac Efron's like, bro, we got a pack. He's like, fuck the pack. Look at that.
Yeah, he's like, bro, if you hoes hold my ass, she fuck that. She like, especially when they was giving her shit, they was like, dude, she probably just want to come up here and talk about her feelings and shit like that. We're trying to play a game here. And she comes in, sits down, like, I brought scotch. And what you guys playing? Halo? Xbox? Oh, give me the controller. And it's like, and then it was shooting. I was just like, that is the perfect.
That is
fucking girlfriend. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with Zach?
I know. Like, it's this thing where, like, Michael B. Jordan should have just went over and been like, bro, you got this, okay? I don't care. We have a pack. I don't care. Look at her. She's beautiful. I only care if the ugly one gets one.
I love you, Joseph. And Denzel on her and be like, hey, babe, so what you doing tonight?
Part of me expected that, too. Like, I was like, there's one of two ways this can go.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that was, you know, even Miles Teller's girlfriend, Chelsea, they didn't really give her too much to do or show her anything, but as far as, like, her, she didn't bother me. I was like,
no.
She seems dude.
No, she was a great girl, and I was like, wow, you can do so much better, because Miles Teller, once again, he's playing his character from 21 and over, just 5 years older.
I haven't seen any of his other movies, so I have 21 and over. I'm assuming that he's getting typecasted as that.
Well, he was in Spectacular Now.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that. I don't know why I keep forgetting that, so never mind that.
Yeah, no, he. It's just like, I feel like he thinks he's good at these roles, and like, he has the charisma to pull him off. It's just the shit he's given is dog shit.
Hey, I was about to say, yeah, what he does in here is just like, oh, whatever. But I think that the dude does have charisma. I won't discredit any of these actors or actresses, because I thought they all did a job where I was like, you know, I could see myself hanging out with these people. I wouldn't get annoyed with any one of them, even the girls or the guys. And but I was just like, what they're given, though, it's just like, this was made for like some Nicholas Sparks fucking romance.
Yeah, this feels like Nicholas Sparks trying to break out of his Mad Libs. It's like, I gotta change something. No, you don't.
It's like, oh man, but the problem with another problem, because man, we've had all these great romantic comedies we talked about, and then you know we get into this one where we got three charismatic guys. You know, I'm thinking that they could work with something if they're given the right material, but
an intriguing premise.
You know, the first 20 minutes. Yeah, first 20 minutes, I thought they had some good chemistry going, meeting these girls and all that. I was like, all right, I like these people. After that, the comedy just either, it gets worse, and then they start adding drama to it, which is the weakest fucking drama I've ever seen, too.
And you can tell with the drama, the only one that can hold it is Michael B. Jordan. Because all the other characters don't really know how to react to the drama, but you can tell Michael B. Jordan's like, bitch, I was in Fruitvale Station. I got this shit.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is, he's barely on screen for his drama, too.
Yeah. But he does, like, even when he's on the screen, he does a good job. Like, he brings life to the movie because they try so hard for this drama and it just falls flat on his face. And then when he comes up, he's like, you said it yourself. He's like the mystical, magical Negro picking up the drama. It's like, here, baby, let me help you out. I got you.
Mm-hmm. Especially in that scene where the second time he left his wife and he was just standing out the door, I was like, "Oh man, you too good for this, dude." I said, I mean, first of all, that was like the last 20 minutes of the film too, and I was a little too late for that now. And you were way too good for this, Michael B. Jordan. I was like, I don't. Even the girl that played Vera, when she was crying, I was like, "This is too good for this." I'm sorry, the drama, like you said, that was handed in there. It's just. it's weak. It's nothing, like, there's no real, like, everybody's problem in here, I was just looking out, it's like, it's not even a real fucking problem, to be honest.
No, exactly, like, it's a romantic comedy problem, as I like to call it. It's something that's only a MacGuffin to keep the plot going.
Yeah, it was just a fucking, of another cliche, and I was just like, you know, this had potential to be something, you know, at least fun. And
it did.
Once again, all these people in here, even Miles Teller, even though he's playing the same guy for 21 over, I thought he was a little bit more toned down for him, because 21 over, I'm going to hang around with his ass. So here, I could see him. I was like, he seems cool. You know, I could get some laughs with him and go out drinking and shit and see how it is. But dude, they didn't give him shit.
No, and that's the thing. I was thinking about this. And the other thing that I really thought about was that, you know, think back to a movie that was just like this, and I was thinking back to The Best Man with this, where, you know, you have an intriguing premise, you have great characters,
the
you
sequel
have,
or the first one?
The sequel, the one that we saw last year.
Okay, Best Man Holiday, okay.
Yeah, you have good characters, you have a good premise, mm-hmm. you have actors who are working together. I would have just rather this movie thrown in something fucking crazy like that one in, because, like, drama like that, it's like, oh, this is crazy, but, hey, I mean, it's completely understandable.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a funny thing you bring that up, too, because that was another romantic comedy where we were around where we were getting so many good ones. At that one for an hour, I was just laughing my ass off. I was having a good time. But then another hour, once again, these romantic comedies stop the comedy parts and put these dramas in, and you're like, they don't even fit the tone of the movie anymore when you put that in there. Like,
no, like,
this seriously goes back to what Joseph Gordon Levis said in Don John in that movie he had with Anne Hathaway and Channing Tatum.
Well, it's a thing, like, I realize, you know, the best romantic dramedies, you know, the ones that mix comedy and drama, mix them throughout. What these movies are getting mm-hmm. wrong is that, oh, here's yuck yuck comedy, and now here comes the sad part. Like, you have to mix that stuff in.
That way it could feel natural. It felt organic when it got to, only, like you said, the only part that felt was Michael B. Jordan, because they start his from the beginning of the movie, work his way to the end, and be honest, that was the only progress. Well, there was progress between the characters, but their progress came, like, way late, and his progress was coming throughout the whole...
Right.
They kicked his black ass off screen so much, you wouldn't even... So, people, if you think this is a Michael B. Jordan film, because I hear a lot of people saying, oh, Michael B. Jordan, and it's like, this is really a Zac Efron film.
Right, exactly. It's like, Michael B. Jordan should be Oscar nominee, kick his ass out.
Exactly. He wants to be the what? The next... Put his ass in the background.
White privilege, motherfucker!
Exactly. Towards the end of the movie, because I was getting a little bored, but not to the point where I was like, oh, I want to leave this theater, but I was just looking at it, because I guess I was just more disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I saw potential in the movie. First 20 minutes, like I said, I was laughing at some of the jokes, and then it seems like they were just ad-libbing at the end, because the writer said, oh, you guys been in this situation before. You hang out with your friends. Just go ahead and do whatever you want and stuff. Like, I think they should have put this in better hands, and it probably would have been a decent movie.
No, I think it's the exact opposite. It's like, all right, a Nicholas Sparks movie does this, so do this. What? Just go with it, please.
Yeah, are you a fan of any Nicholas Sparks movie?
Hell no. I think...
Same here.
Like, wanting to go in the writing and directing, like, I've never seen a writer get off on doing Mad Libs.
Mm-hmm.
With his...
That's what he'd do.
Like, literally, like, his template is a Mad Lib. Person, girl, meets boy, one of them holds a dirty secret, someone close to them dies, but it ends up they get together in the end. The end.
Yeah, that's pretty much... I mean, he pretty much gets his stories from Cosmopolitan magazines in the grocery store. I mean,
yeah, no shit.
And adds a twist to it.
A quote-unquote twist, which is,
yeah.
I will admit, they're getting funnier by the movie.
Because he's made so many of those motherfuckers yet. It's like, that dude, man, I don't think he even tries anymore.
The last movie! What's the twist? I'm a ghost!
Why would you? I mean, these money movies keep making money, and women like it, so it's like, fuck it, this shit, this is what they like. I mean, honestly, this movie kind of became Sex in the City for guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so what would you give it?
I just give it a stream. I didn't hate the movie. If anything, I was more disappointed. I didn't have expectations for the film, but I saw, like, I was like, you know what? I don't mind Zac Efron. I mean, I don't hate him. He's not like any other of those teen idols that I can't stand. I think he actually has some kind of charisma for him. Miles Teller, he toned it down a lot from 21 over, even though he's playing the same character. So I found, like, Michael B. Jordan's always great. And the women in here, I thought, were great, too. It's just they wouldn't give a shit to do.
Yeah, no, that really is something we should hone on more. The women in this movie are fantastic. They kind of overshadow the guys whenever they're on screen.
Yeah, I was going to say, the problem, you're right, we should talk about the women more. The women in here, which was Chelsea, Vera, even though she's on screen two scenes, I thought that towards the end, I was like, you know what, I can see her as something stronger. I believe her acting right here, especially with Michael B. Jordan. But you got Imogen Poots as Ellie and Mackenzie Davis as Chelsea. I don't know about their acting. Maybe it's decent, if not, or maybe I need to see them in something else. But as far as like being characters, I kind of related to hang out with these girls. They seem cool.
Yeah, so I agree. I give it a screaming. I'm right there with you. I mean, we said whenever we did our regular talk for this could go one of two ways with a first-time director and kind of a likable but not really well-known cast. This movie was only made for $8 million, so of course it's going to make its fucking money back. But as it is, it's not as offensive as most of these like romantic comedies that just come here and are so blatantly bland and just you can tell like what's
made.
Yeah, and you can tell what's just going to happen by the end. And I also have to give this movie a little bit of points for not being as sexist as some other romantic movies that I've seen lately. So, this gets a streamer from me.
You know, you talk about harping on the women. We should harp on the sexist part. It actually wasn't. It never went that route of being sexist either. Like, I did appreciate that a little bit more.
Yeah, because like that was something I was looking for. It's like there's got to be a sexist joke in here somewhere. And I look back on it, I was like, wow, there actually wasn't. Like they actually managed to do it.
They didn't make none of the characters dipshit. Even when Zac Efron showed up at that fucking party with that weird-ass costume on, like, they didn't go, like, over the top with an extreme, like, I can't believe you didn't do that for my father and stuff like that.
It was just more like misunderstanding. Yeah, misunderstanding. Yeah. Why don't you go change? Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then the father saying, I like this guy a lot. He's funny. I was just like, I like this dad, too. I was like, he's he's cool.
If I was in his shoes and the dad was like, I like you, you're funny, I would have just came over and gave him a hug. It's like, thank you.
It's a shame that motherfucker died 10 minutes later.
That's right. Good night, everyone.
Later, everyone. Ended on a death joke.
So it's a different kind of dress-up party.
What are you wearing?
Rock out with, it's not my real cock, though.
Clearly.
So these are my parents.
I'm just gonna pretend this isn't happening. Hi.
Oh, goodness.
Oh,
it's a cocktail.